Welcome to the CPG Scoop. We are happy for our spring to start coming through on our scoops. It's March. Hooray. I am Risa Crandall.
And I'm Jennifer Silverberg.
And we are thrilled to have Michael from T. Marzitti join us today for the CPG Scoop. So welcome, Michael, to the CPG Scoop.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. But we are too. We are excited to learn and, you know, hear a little bit of your perspective. Jennifer and I started the podcast really as that great extension from the CPG guys to have a conversation that we would have had more likely in person, but more of this is happening, you know, via Zoom, and it works pretty well, actually, for people to hear and learn and be able to understand and maybe be inspired by something. They will be inspired by something that you shared today. I know it. So that it gives them a little bit of an extra spring in their step or a different way to look at things in both their career as well as how it balances together with life. So we always like to start off by having you introduce yourself to our audience and explain kind of your background, your role at T. Marzitti, and kind of your journey into getting where you are today.
Sure. So thank you again for having me. Michael Retta. I lead digital design insights and e-commerce for the T. Marzitti company. I've been in that role since the spring of 2021. So I am rounding the corner to 3 years, and it's been a great run within the T. Marzitti group and the company as we've grown e-commerce and look to grow there. But I think what got me here was a bit of a varied background. I started my career in IT and quickly realized that was not the greatest fit for me. And so I went back to school for a couple of years and got into brand management. And really from there, saw, you know, the way the world worked from the eye of the consumer, the way brands work, working with retailers, and found a passion area there, but deviated in degrees as time went on. So I spent some time on the brand side for a number of years and then got more into digital. And then from there did a variety of things that were kind of connected to brands and CPG, but not fully on the team. So I did a couple years at an agency digitally working with CPG brands. I spent about 3 years in a sales role. And then came back client side in 2019 for a few years doing direct to consumer in the apparel industry before coming to T. Marzitti. Okay. So it's been a bit of a varied a run for me. I think it fits well now in the role that I have and the diversity of the role that I can sort of act as if I had a grand plan. But I really just took me a little while longer than most to sort of figure out exactly what I wanted to do. But it's serving me well in my role now, which is you know, a bit more varied and diverse within the T. Marzitti space. We as a company are, I'd say, a mid-level CPG company, about $2 billion in total sales. We have a nice portfolio of owned brands with Marzitti dips and dressings, New York Bakery, garlic bread, Texas toast, and croutons, Sister Schubert's dinner rolls, amongst others. And then we have a growing portfolio of licensed partnerships, Buffalo Wild Wings, Arby's, and a few new ones coming here in the next couple of months. So we've had a lot of great growth over the last 2-3 years and continue to be excited about what's ahead for the company overall.
You got me hungry there. I don't
know. We make good food. I can confidently say
what's
that.
What's the next thing coming in the next few months? So, okay, that's exciting. That's a little.
I know you had me at Texas toast, so.
Right?
It's very good. Right? It's very good.
Yes. So, And it's interesting how often when we're speaking to leaders in this space, what we hear is are from people who, I'll call it meandered, you know, from one side to another and through one door and another, because I think that's the only way that you can really bring a holistic view to what you're doing. Otherwise, it becomes very narrow.
It does. And I think, you know, I think at the times that I made those decisions, they were thoughtful. I didn't necessarily have the greatest sort of what's going to happen after that, but I knew that it was going to be additive. And if I continued to pursue growth in the work that I was doing and finding the growth in the work that I was doing with the companies and the clients, and that it wasn't super far away, that it would find me back to a place. And so now being in a role where helping grow e-commerce, working with our retailer partners, our brands and our sales folks internally, as well as agencies, promotional partners and a variety of things. It brings me a unique view to somewhat have sat in the varying seats and just better serve this organization overall, but also to create stronger partnerships with an understanding to some degree of the work that others are doing to try to help our businesses.
No, that's incredibly helpful. So given all of that and all this varied history and your multi-view look at all this, what one word or a couple if you need them, would you use to describe your specific approach to CPG marketing?
So I have one, and I think I have a second one that kind of goes with it, but the second one's not the greatest. So I think I'm going to go with the one to start. The first one that came to my mind was transcendent. Okay. It's not a word that I use on a regular basis. And I admittedly went back to kind of validate my use of the word was there. And I think one of the definitions that I found was surpassing the ordinary. And I think, you know, the reason it comes to mind and I feel comfortable using it is there's just so much going on. And I think you could argue that that's always going to be the case at varying points, but, the growth of retail media, the changing dynamic of consumer, the inflation, all these different things, like there is just so much in the stew that we have going on right now. I think we're living and working in a period that I believe is, as we look back, is going to be a transcendent moment in a window of time, be it 5-10 years. You know, I'm old enough to have started my career in brand management when digital was not really a much of a thing. And we were looking at media from a very linear perspective and planning TV and in-store and then ways in which it was much more structured. And now it's less so. And I think it just requires so much more focus, but the change is opportunity. And I think that's what the exciting aspect is. And so transcendent would be my one word. If I chose another, it would be chaotic, because I do think that there's just so much going on that it sort of balances the two out. Because there's just so much, right? Everyone's got a new tool. We've got Gen AI, we've got retailers, we've got acquisitions. There's just a pace of change and whatnot that if you don't have a focus on what your goals are and understanding what you're trying to do as a business or as a company, it can feel a bit chaotic.
That's funny. It's a transcendent chaos. It sounds like a name of an album.
I guess I could have brought them together. Yeah. Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good combination. And you kind of led to where we are thinking about next as far as consumer behaviors, right? So, you know, it is a little chaotic in a way, you know, as far as how the consumer is behaving. And we're curious what your view is on how CPG marketers need to adapt to that and make the changes, understanding how consumers are evolving, the way they choose products, the way they shop for products, the way they discover products. What do you think the CPG industry needs to, you know, kind of prioritize too, given that consumers have evolved so much over the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd say I think you're right on, right? I think there's more information out there than ever before, reviews, things like that. There's more platforms, TikTok, social platforms and otherwise, where people are discovering things. There's recipes and things like that. And so I think with all of that going on, the place that I go to is kind of hearkening back to a bit more of the less sort of sexy things that are all around, getting more focused on what are our goals and objectives and what are we trying to do and who are we trying to reach with that? Because I think if we're able to be more focused on blocking out the chaos and the noise, then what around us makes sense in terms of how we're going to achieve those goals can become clearer. You know, I know within our organization, we are not funded with unlimited dollars, nor is any organization going to be. And so there's going to have to be decisions made, prioritizations on how we go to market, how we activate. And, you know, so that's my main thing, I think, would be focusing on goals, objectives, and really being clear on who we're trying to reach. But I do think in that question, I think the one part that's continuing to evolve is e-commerce is a big part. Obviously, with us, we don't sell direct. We have refrigerated and frozen brands as well as shelf stable. So we're working through our retailer partners and Instacart to grow that side of our business. But the notion of digitally influenced sales is something that I'm thinking about. And I think we're trying to kind of understand how it works within our organization as well, because people can find us in varying ways digitally that they may not necessarily convert immediately. And how do we understand the journey? You know, I've listened to a few of these and I agree that the funnel is far less structure than it may have been in the past. But I think, how are we reaching folks along the journey to ensure that as they get to that point of sale, be it digitally or physically, you know, they aren't seeing our brand for the first time and we're having to convince them to shift over at that point. So there's a lot in there, but I think really focusing on what we're trying to do, who we're trying to reach, and our objectives within that are critical to beginning to take that step to block all that other stuff out. And then we can start to build programming from there.
Yeah, as the noise has increased, finding the signal in the noise has become increasingly different. And I think
that's difficult. Correct.
I think there are more signals as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's
absolutely
now, yeah, it's that's where you get to your chaotic, you know, the cacophony of all of this. So yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like every time there's a signal that people seem to be paying attention to, I was reading something yesterday and it was questioning the value of ROAS and looking at iROAS or total ROAS. And so I think, again, I think understanding, you know, what works for your organization, you know, what works for us internally as we're on our journey, may not be the same for others. We may be further behind in some parts, we may be further ahead in others. And I think that's a another kind of, I think, key thing, because it's easy to read things and to hear things and think that we should be in that specific place. But everyone's journey and path is going to be different. And the metrics and ways in which a business is set up are going to be different. I think that's also really important to clear things out or to break through that noise and ensure there's clarity within a certain organization based on what might be going on outside.
For sure. So given all this stuff that's going on out there, we'd love to hear about something maybe that you guys have learned over the last year. You know, what has your brand learned?
Sure. Yeah. So we've been continuing to try and evolve. So, you know, I think a little bit of background to the question is in March of 2020, when the kind of the world ended and COVID started, as a company, our e-commerce business was close to zero. And so we've evolved pretty quickly, ending our fiscal 23 in June. E-com was about 10%. And so we're continuing to accelerate and grow at a pretty rapid rate for us. And I think as part of that, learning a lot as we go. You know, I think the thing that stands out to me is as we get into our current year and look ahead is the power of integration and cohesion across that journey. For us, it is ensuring that we begin to take the steps to clarifying the path that the consumer's on and making sure that they're seeing consistency and cohesive assets integration messaging across physical and digital touch points. You know, I think we've learned through the initial stages of our e-commerce journey that we can drive sales pretty effectively at our digital channels with our retailer partners. But we've learned over the last 12-ish months that the power of that becomes exponential when we connect the dots between what's going on in store, what's going on online, and how we bridge that journey cohesively for consumers and drive that integration. You know, I guess trying to do, you know, 1 + 1 = maybe not 3, but more than 2 as we try to kind of integrate and grow in that way. So for us, that's a big one. I mean, we've learned a lot about, you know, the types of consumers, the behaviors of those consumers, you know, how to drive repeat, things like that from an e-com perspective. But at a broad level, that's really the main thing that we're trying to focus on and kind of bring to light.
That's great. That's great. It's so important to reflect on kind of where the company was and what you can put in place and then how to propel that forward. And then when we think about 24, which again, it's hard to believe we're in March, but I see some crocuses popping up. So it's a good thing. I'm very happy about that. Even saw a robin. So we're getting there. Curious as far as, you know, what the company, what Team Mercedes is going to be doing differently in 24, you know, if there's, whether it be product introductions or different tentpole events that you're thinking about, different occasions or different partnerships, you know, just give us the scoop, you know, what you can share that is interesting and exciting that, you know, when you get up in the morning, you say like, I am so glad we are planning to go forward with this. It's going to give us a different point of view for 24.
Yeah. So I'd say there's two things. I think one is stronger relationships with our key retailers in that integrated fashion, right? So working with the digital teams and the physical teams, the buyers, and really trying to work to partner to create integration, not just in what a consumer might see in store, but drive integration in the earlier stages of that partnership as we think about ideas and innovations that we're bringing to the table, so that there's greater confluence of thoughts, let's say, you know, throughout that process. You know, more on the front end, I think what we're beginning to test and learn a lot around is, you know, that upper funnel or the earlier stage awareness type of the journey through our retailer partners and understanding what that looks like. You know, when I started this job in May of 21, it felt like, you know, we had a lot of opportunity with e-commerce working with our retailers, but we were really focused on that conversion at the end state, the .coms that we were working on, the apps, things like that, and seeing it as an extension to drive conversions with consumers that were close to our brands or already buying the brands. And the evolution that's occurred over the last few years has been pretty extraordinary. And so now we're able to look at how might we think about, you know, leveraging a connected television to create awareness in ways that we've not been able to in the past? Because as a non-direct selling CPG manufacturer, we don't have that direct flow of data like I have had in a past role where we sell product, we know immediately who's buying it. We can remarket, retarget, do a variety of different things with them. And so the ability to now reach consumers with more awareness type messaging, with the targeting criteria that we haven't had in the past, and being able to attribute that in ways that we haven't is an area that we're continuing to explore more and is a critical factor as we think about our future growth.
That's exciting.
That is exciting. So in 2024, anything that you see coming that you think might surprise our audience? Crystal ball.
If I did, I wish I'd have a betting man. I'd place some wagers. But
it's a freaky year.
I've thought about the question. I think I've thought about, you know, things, and it's something that comes up as we think about kind of our business and things like that. I think in the nearer term, we're going to continue to see closer to the vest. I think continue to see the growth of retail media, and it's the convergence of media and retail media to be sort of the same thing. I think we talked a lot about social media in the early stages of social, and now it's just kind of media in a form of social. And I think retail and retail media are continue to converge as retailers grow their networks and find ways to drive value for partners. I also think more broadly or more pie in the sky, I'm interested to see what continues from an acquisition perspective. Obviously, Walmart bought Vizio, and I think on the surface, that seems like a really interesting thing that gives them a reach into homes in ways that they haven't, if they executed in ways that we think that they could. But I don't know what else could be there. I think as you think about the size and scope of some of these retailers and what they try to do to potentially create networks that are insulated across the entire journey. You know, Walmart's got TV, they've got the stores, they've got in-store media, they've got sampling. Like, what else could they potentially acquire? I have no idea, but I think that's an area that'll be continuing to be kind of interesting to watch as we think about how they view the media side of their business as a pretty sizable growth sector.
How does that impact, you know, seeing that coming, how is that impacting where you're placing your bets as a brand?
I think in the near term, it's a wait and see. But I think as we look at, you know, the previous discussion around how we think about strategically investing in awareness messaging through like a connected TV, I think it gives me a hope that there will be continued evolution and an opportunity to reach folks with, targeting criteria that we would like without huge budgets and the ability to sort of blanket the marketplace. And understand, I think, and so, you know, less about immediate changes, but more, I think, as we think about how it's going, you know, and I think that the nuance of how the retailers handle their networks and their walled gardens of data and the journeys that they create will be interesting to see, because that's the one, you know, aspect is, as we think about, you know, how Kroger does it differently than Walmart, acquisitions, even at a retailer level that have somewhat changed recently, but, It's a wait and see and kind of fast adapt, I think, at this point for us.
One of the things that tends to come up on this question quite a bit is right now is around AI, I think, because you can't go to any show without AI. or Taylor Swift. Those two things always come up. But is there anything that you're looking at from that standpoint, or how does your brand think about that?
Yeah. So we it's come up a lot in our building as well. And I think, we're I think in the same way to the prior question, we're evaluating, I think trying to better understand what is it really, you know, you got AI, Gen AI, all these different tools. And so trying to kind of bridge the gap between what it is, what its relevance could be. And I think staying true to the areas in which it could add value for our business. And so as we think about more broadly content creation, insights, ways in which it could enable us to do more with less. Those are obviously things that would be of interest. So it's a continued source of discussion, you know, just as with the shows and LinkedIn and other sort of platforms, it's, you don't get very far through the day without it coming up within the building. And that's good. I think we're trying to foster excitement, but also ensure that we're doing it with a thought and a strategic lever as we think about pilots and tests and learns. So we're looking into things, but we don't have at this point a firm sort of view or partnership model in that space. But I think we certainly see it more as an opportunity as a smaller player in the broader market space to do more with less if we can find the right partnerships as we grow.
Yeah, from an efficiency standpoint, right? You know, and just opening up the mind to different occasions, like you were saying, and different audiences, you know, and but also being mindful to keep true to the brand. I mean, that's the critical balance, right?
Correct.
What needs to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because it still has that, you know, the machine can do the thinking, let's say, faster through mountains of data that that we couldn't do in that amount of time. But the quality of the question is very much dependent on the quality of the answer and how we think about those things. And so we're thinking about all those as a company and how we arm our marketers and our organization to be successful. But certainly as you get below the surface and the general conversation, there's a lot more to consider who we work with, what are the areas we want to do it, things of that nature before we would be too deep in.
Yeah. It's important to think about the human component plus the technology, right? It's the power of the combination. There's lots of great studies about that because otherwise could go a little rogue.
And
protect the brands and make sure that consumers really have those connections with the T. Marzetti brand.
For sure. So for sure.
We appreciate that. And, you know, we talk a lot because we started the podcast, you know, post getting into our different world of pandemic and then kind of now in this hybrid world of life, and everybody is balancing, everybody's trying new things, everybody's kind of thinking about the things that they brought into their life during the beginning, whether it was a hobby or a different area of focus or way to, you know, kind of breathe. What have you done to keep yourself kind of motivated and balanced between work and personal life?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, we went hard into pandemic life and acquired a dog, a hot tub, and a golf cart within like a 2 month window. So, you know, I think it all seemed like great decisions at the time. You know, the dog is now 4, and feel a lot better about that decision than I did at the time when my kids were at home in school and was trying to train a puppy and whatnot. But you know, I think, you know, for me, it's family, you know, having 2 kids and the wife that I think at times do a great job of keeping me grounded when I need to be and just balancing, you know, what goes on at work versus, you know, managing the swim meets and the different things that the kids have going on. You know, we do some traveling, things like that. We're getting ready for spring break and skiing is an activity for us as a family that has become a nice thing that we all do. And so, you know, with 10 and 12 year old daughters in different grades, you know, we're always kind of moving in different directions between work and school and sports. And so we find that to be a great activity for us all. And then for us, the more recent thing is we are just coming out of like a 7 month renovation remodel of our house. And so while that is tested us or me in ways that I did not expect, that's been a constant source of discussion and kind of keeping things balanced in the home and the work as we get that done.
That's a hard one.
It's hard.
I
yeah.
know you don't realize. You think, oh, you know, a few rooms are going to be down. No.
Yeah, a lot of dust, a lot of work. You know, it's great now, but certainly as you think about the entirety of the process, there's not really a great way to prepare for something where you lose the kitchen and part of the house and you kind of go through all of that. So thankfully it got done relatively on time and it worked out really well, but it's a dicey one.
That is, it is. It has a lot of moving parts and everybody has to be extra flexible. So I remember when we did that too. And we had to do things differently, but it's good to do that. You know, it's good to kind of shift around the brain a little bit in both work and personal and find that, you know, comfort zone as far as enjoying certain time together when having children. It's great to have those activities so that it grounds us all, right? And has us, you know, focusing on things that are most important, which is family.
For sure. For sure.
I always watch those shows where they come in and they do the renovation so quickly. And
yeah, you know, no, that's not how it works. Yeah.
It's not real. Right. And so, you know, people don't realize this stuff drags on and things, when things are late, it's not a day late. It's sometimes months late. And so,
yeah.
Anyway, kudos to you.
It's definitely testing being flexible, right?
I try. Probably not as well as I need to be if my wife was telling, but at my flexibility, but I'm trying my best.
You were getting a lesson in chaos, which he said is, you know.
Exactly. Well, I told our builder, His job and his world is a managed art, a ballet of chaos, because it's between the different types of people. And it's one of those interesting things that you kind of watch relating it to the worlds that, that we're in terms of the flow of one thing, the way that, you know, one aspect can delay another, and how you keep everything moving on the same track and the different ways and the changes and things of that nature. So it is interesting to watch, but yeah, it is a form of organized or managed chaos as you think about the different pieces that, that would come to it.
Yeah. For sure. Well, thank you, Michael, so much. I think this is one of our better scoops. I hate to say that, you know, on the thing, but absolutely. I think there's a lot.
Thank you.
You dropped a lot of information for people and maybe new ways of thinking about things.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It was a great conversation.
Thank you for joining us. We are so happy that, you know, we get the content and get some inspiration in there too. And the comfort of chaos is you can manage it and you for can sure. make your way through, right? So thank you so much for Michael for joining us. This is a great episode of the CPG Scoop, and we're so glad you joined us, and we'll see you soon.